Stephanie Schaefer, and you're listening to the North Star Narrative, a podcast from North Star Academy. I want to thank you for joining us. I hope you're encouraged, challenged, and motivated by what you learned today. Enjoy the story. Hey, everybody. Thanks so much for tuning in today. Super excited about our guest, Robbie Engel, who is with TrueFace. We're going to be talking about creating small groups that build real, authentic community, both here at North Star and in our churches, homes, all kinds of groups across the globe, wherever you might be. So this is for anyone listening in. So I would encourage you to really press in and be present during this time and learn more about Robbie, TrueFace, and what it means to have a dynamic small group. So Robbie is the president and CEO of TrueFace. He lives in Georgia with his wife, Emily, and they have 8 children. I hope to hear about his kids during our podcast. Prior to serving at TrueFace, Robbie has served for 7 years as the director of adult ministry environments and men's group for North Point Community Church in Atlanta, which was founded by Andy Stanley. And before North Point, Robbie and his wife, Emily, worked in professional counseling and aid work for Samaritan's Purse. They've served overseas with international disaster response teams. So they have so many experiences that I know he's going to be able to pull from and share with us today. He has a master's in community counseling, and he also holds a business degree, as well as a certificate in biblical studies. So as you can hear, he is very qualified to help us gain more experience today in many different areas. But I'm excited, Robbie, that you're here, and we're going to get to focus on small groups.
Thanks, Stephanie. Super fun to be here.
Yay. Okay. So I want to hear about your 8 kids, your wife, Emily, just a little bit about your experience and how God has created you. And now that you're at TrueFace, tell us a little bit about that as well.
Yeah, I'll start with the family. Been married for 18 years, 8 kids, all 12 to 4. So 8 kids in 8 years. I told my wife, I don't want to be one of those dads who's 60 and still has a kid in the home. I want a Harley in my 50s, and I can't buy a Harley until the kids get out of the house. So I was like, I don't care how many kids we have, but I just, you know, we got a clock in my head. So she took advantage of the system. We have 5 adopted, 3 biological, 2 sets of twins, 6 boys, 2 girls, and our dance parties are off the chain. Stephanie, we have a ton of fun. I've been all over the place trying to figure out what to do with my life, counseling, aid work, working at a church. And really that revolves around my passion, to help stuck Christians. You know, we do this Christian thing and we know plenty about God in our head, but we get to that point where we're like, I read about peace and freedom and these things that Jesus made possible. And I don't know those experientially as much as I know about them in my head. And so TrueFace is a 28-year-old nonprofit ministry that develops grace-based relational discipleship resources to help stuck Christians go the 18 inches from their head to their heart to experience deeper relationships with God and others. And there's some stuff there that I'll unpack that'll set a foundation for small groups and what we'll talk about. But one of those is that we are specific in grace-based relational discipleship resources because I don't think discipleship resources should be anything but relational. So there should always be a connecting language that is needed of relational discipleship because Jesus modeled a way of investing intentionally in a few to be the master plan of evangelism to change the world. And God, as a relational God, the triune God, made us in his image to be relational, to grow through relationships. It's all relationships at the foundational core of our theology, of our spiritual formation and discipleship. And a lot of times that gets lost in the West, in today's age of knowledge and focus on knowledge acquisition, especially for us in academia. It's easier to know, because that keeps us in control. And so there's a couple principles in that. One is that truth informs, but trusted truth transforms. So we want to provide tools to help people get unstuck by trusting truth, not knowing truth. And trust is a relational word. And so if we apply truth in relationships, that's when it starts transforming our lives. With God, in our relationship with God, knowing truth informs us, trusting that truth, living into these truths that we believe about God deepens our relationship with Him, and it deepens our relationship with others. And so I think groups, small groups, are just an expression of an environment that it's conducive for spiritual growth per the model of Jesus and how He invested more time into fewer people for greater kingdom impact, His 12 and then His 3 on a deeper level, Peter, James, and John. And He said, go and do likewise and love others, serve others. And in a busy world, groups are simply an environment that's conducive for our formation and our maturing into Christ-likeness. Groups don't lead to spiritual growth. Relationships lead to growth. Groups are simply a catalyst for us to have the type of relationships that help us grow spiritually.
That's so good. And while you were talking, I was thinking about a book that probably made the most impact on me of any other book, and it was The Master Plan of Evangelism by Robert Coleman.
So good.
So good. Just a little book. I would encourage, if you haven't read that, that you get it. And yeah, because it walks you through relational, and Jesus is relational. It made me want to be in His Word more and learn from Jesus. So yeah, I love that. I love the journey you've been on.
There's a principle that a mentor of mine shared with me and modeled for me. And it was a deeply rooted principle belief in the principle that more time with fewer people equals greater kingdom impact. Now, this is often a tension point for us because we spiritualize influence and reach and platform and thousands and all this stuff. And I've been in big ministry environments and small ministry environments. But Jesus modeled a way of relational discipleship where I think when I look at His life, he affirmed the principle that more time with fewer people equals greater kingdom impact. And I am deeply impacted by a guy who believed that principle and invested incredible amounts of unproductive time into my life. And this guy was a super successful entrepreneur, started an international ministry. He had a lot of big, famous, popular things calling at him. And he said, nope, my calendar is going to reflect this principle that more time with fewer people. And I was one of the beneficiaries of that. And so that's led to some of the tools we built at TrueFace, because we want to build relationships that lead to growth. God's designed us to grow through the context of relationships. But if we're being honest with each other, having and finding relationships that actually lead to growth, they're hard to come by. And so what we do is we take teaching and build it in ways that make it more conducive for people to experience the type of relationships that they're looking for. And that's in a group discipleship process, a one-on-one framework, or small group curriculum that we build. And that's why the passion for small groups is there, because yes, Jesus modeled it. And Coleman said in Master Plan Evangelism, this is the model. And my mentors, I believe and agree with that principle that more time with fewer people equals greater kingdom impact. So my passion is to equip anybody listening or anybody I get to meet with the tools to make it a little bit easier in a time and a culture and a pace of life that is against and makes it difficult for us to live in community in a way that's healthy.
That's so good. Yeah. And like you said, it is hard. It's hard to find people that want to do that. So why do you think it's so hard for people to truly be present and open up themselves?
Yeah, I think that's for our podcast number two, if you ever invite me back, yeah. Stephanie, because I think the difficulty and why it's hard is really rooted in a lack of trust. And a lack of trust is connected to our theology and our identity. So, you know, beliefs shape behaviors. I'm pulling back to a lower level of the onion here, but at the core, We do not see God correctly. We see, we do not see ourselves correctly the way that God sees us. And therefore, we live out of shame more than security. We live out of hiddenness more than authenticity. We live out of protection more than being able to protect each other. And that all stems from an identity belief that we're broken, we're sinners, we are unloved by God and by others. And this is, I'm speaking to Christians. Christians, if we see God as a judge who's somewhat disappointed in us, then we're going to function out of a equation that a lot of us do as Christians, and I do a lot of days, of a belief that like, okay, God loves me, made me for relationships. Sin breaks that relationship. Sin's anything that breaks relationships. So I'm going to do better. I'm going to do more right behavior and less wrong behavior to be better with God in my relationship. Well, that puts the onus of my relationship with God on me. And I like that because I like to be in control and feel, you know, that's in what I can do. And that ends up leading to shame out of an identity that I'm a sinner. And I need to do more right behavior plus less wrong behavior to make my relationship with God. And if I see God that way, I see myself as a sinner. And therefore, the shame says, Robbie, if Stephanie, if anybody listening really knew how messed up you are, how arrogant you are, the depths of your pride, how you were such a jerk to your wife yesterday, they wouldn't listen to you. So you got to put on the mask and be the good Christian. And so... And then a lot of us experience trauma and we experience broken trust, but we haven't experienced the richness and the peace and the freedom of being fully known and loved on our worst day. And so it's just more comfortable to wear a mask, to have relationships at a level of 6 depth, you know, not 8 or 9, wear the good stuff, because 6 is good enough. We have our friends, but we miss out on the richness of being known and loved, really, which is where growth happens. And so now to give the flip side, that is where if we see ourselves rightly as saints who occasionally sin, not sinners striving to be saints, if we see ourselves as saints, we see a God who loves us. He's not sitting there with a clipboard. He goes, no, perfectly loved son and daughter, just as they are. And out of that security, we can trust others with the real us. And so identity has a big impact. Trauma, wounds have a big impact on why we are limited in experiencing the intimacy and the connection that we long for. And that's a big reason I think a lot of us settle for less than our design and our longings.
Yeah. Identity. Everything's rooted in our identity, right? And who we think God is, because sometimes we make up in our mind who he is. And so I love that. And before we started recording, I told you the impact the video Two Roads had on me. So if you're listening, it's about 6 minutes, maybe a little bit more. It's a video you should check out called Two Roads, or maybe we'll even put it in the bio here so you can check that out. But it goes into just a little bit more depth than Robbie did. And it also makes me think, because, you know, I've read Romans a lot, but God recently, don't you love it when he, you know, you read something over and over, but then you get something different every time, and God just opens our minds. And I think we can only handle so much. Sometimes he knows that, you know, where we are. But in Rome, the end of 7 and 8, I like to see in pictures. So I just wrote it out, but it's very clear we're all born. So there's a left column and a right column in my mind. We're all born in the flesh, no matter what. Everybody is, right? Some people get to that right column and also have the spirit. But guess what? We never lose the flesh while we're here on earth. And so I think that goes along when we grasp that yeah, it's a war. And that's why Jesus tells us there's a raging war inside you. And Paul talks about that. And we have to put on the armor. And not only do we need the word, the Holy Spirit, but we need each other, right? To fight that war. Because just as Aaron held up Moses's arms in the battle, you know, we have to hold up each other. And so that's why I was so excited to have you on to tell us, how do we do that authentically in a real way that doesn't isolate other people or ourselves or, you know, harm people, but because it is hard. It's hard to open up. And I've opened up. I'm sure you've opened up to people and you're like, oh, that was the wrong person. And you've been harmed. But even in that pain, there's good that God will bring out of it, and you can trust. And so there's so many things like I'm throwing out here that we could talk about, but yeah move into that and that those areas.
All right. So I'll pull it back up to the, a little higher than the depth of the trust issues, which we could talk about all day. But there's two practical things. I'll go super practical. There's two components or two foundational elements for relationships of trust to be built on. So all of us are long for relationships. We long to be loved, to be known, and to be loved. That's innate in us if we're humans. And so, and we all are walking around going, I want closer friends. Where are they? I want more intimacy with my spouse, my kids, my friends. How do I do that? We hit that ceiling and we want to experience depth of relationship. There's two super practical things. One is relationships are built with two equations, intentionality and consistency. So don't overthink it. Start simple. Like if you're not intentional and consistent with others, you're not going to build relationships with them. Consistency means, is it on your calendar? I was talking about needing to prioritize my wife better in the season because we have 8 squeaky wheels and my wife is super low maintenance. And so I was like, man, I'm always putting out fires with crazy kids. I need to pursue Emily. And my best friend, Benj, was like, you know, there's one answer to whether you'll do that or not. And I was like, no, just tell me. He's like, is it on your calendar? If not, don't make up like you're going to prioritize it if it's not reflected on your calendar. And so we have consistency with our fantasy football group or different friend groups, but we don't have depth because we don't have the intentionality piece. So intentionality just means, are we talking about fantasy football or whatever our hobby is, or are we really going to that level in vulnerability, asking good questions? And vulnerability begets vulnerability. It's a catalyst for others to meet us. And so it takes courage and intentionality for us to be the ones, to be the friend to others that they're looking for and that we're waiting for. Just be the one with the courage to step out and go, hey, Stephanie, this was great. Would you, you know, can we hang out again? I've really enjoyed this friendship. And ask good questions, model vulnerability. That's intentionality to build relationships. You put both of those together, consistency and intentionality, you will deepen your relationships. And we have a tool called the True Face Conversation Beyond the Mask to make that easier. Because guys, especially, it's a no man's land. We have coffee, we hang out, and we're like, hey, I could be friends with that guy. The gap between that first, like, I'd be friends with that guy and us becoming like brothers is wrought with us having no idea how to get there. And so we built 8 conversations to be a framework. So Stephanie, it's like, hey, Stephanie, let's be better friends. You want to do this conversation thing? We watch a 5-minute video during the day, like the video Two Roads. And then you have 3 open-ended questions that we set up. And you and I, and I'm like, hey, let's talk every Tuesday at 4:45 on the drive home. And we don't even have to be in person. And after those 8 conversations, you'll be closer friends with that person and knowing each other than most. So that's an example of how a tool can help be a catalyst around that principle. And now let's talk about small groups, because I love small groups. And a lot of people listening to this are either youth or wondering, how do I make this valuable instead of just a friend session? A lot of people listening are parents, and this is the hardest chapter of our lives to be intentional and consistent, because our kids are asking us to chauffeur them everywhere, whatever it is. It's just hard to get away and prioritize that time. And we're in the throes of our careers, and so time is of the essence. And if your calendar reflects that you're not intentional and consistent, you will miss an essential component toward to your spiritual formation and your maturing, which is relationships that lead to growth. So that is why I love small groups, because small groups are simply a framework that adds intentionality and consistency for you to have a better potential to experience relationships that actually lead to spiritual growth. Now, a lot of us just said in our heads, yeah, but I've been in a lot of small groups and it was not worth my time or lame. That also makes me crazy and frustrating because you're right. We've all been in super lame small groups because there's elements of that. And in my previous job at North Point, I was blessed. I got paid to nerd out about what worked and didn't work in small groups. And we had 800 small groups that I got to study in a little research and development phase of my life. And so during that, I was able to identify what differentiated amazing transformational groups from lame small groups. And those really boiled down to five components that I saw in the leaders that were leading great groups versus those that were leading not as great groups.
Mm. Okay. Are you going to tell us?
All right. I wanted to be a polite pause in case you wanted to skip me somewhere else.
But no, I've got my pen and paper ready to write it down because I lead several small groups.
All right. So, and again, these are just what I learned from watching the ones that were great, the great small groups. And there were five principles that you can apply whatever your dynamic is. There's all kinds of models for small groups. I've seen all the models work. Most churches go, our small groups need an overhaul. What's the right strategy? What's the right model? And that's the wrong question. I've seen different small group models work at every church. The key is the leader. That makes up about 65% of the effectiveness of a small group, in my opinion. And so this is a big disclaimer before I get into the five and actually answer the question. The health of the leader is found in his or her theology and identity. That's the core of who we are as leaders. That is not a 2-hour PowerPoint presentation. That is a slow process. And so that's why I started talking about trust the way I did, because that if you do that, that's the macros. Like, it's like parenting tips. The best parenting thing, 80% of the equation is, do you have a healthy relationship with your spouse? Forget parenting tips and tricks. If you're a healthy relationship, that's like 80% of the equation. Same with small groups. 65% of the equation is, are you healthy in your theology identity? Now, 25% of the equation is, do you facilitate well? Do you know the principles of leadership? Are you modeling things? And that is the five components that we can change and adjust easier. So continue to grow. And this is not the silver bullet. This is 25% of the equation, but this is what we can do to move the needle. And those are five components built around a sailing metaphor to make it easier for you to remember. The first one is the destination. So the great small group leaders I saw clarified, they determined the goals of their group as a group. And so if you expect people to meet 60, 90 minutes a week, you better be clear on why, because we all gauge opportunity costs. Is this worth my time or not? And so great leaders would verbalize and clarify, this is why we're meeting. These are our hopes. This is the destination that we're working towards. And they got the buy-in from the group members. They said, what are your expectations? Because frustrations are the delta between reality and expectations. So if your group doesn't verbalize their expectations to weigh into the destination, they're not going to be bought in, because Sally just wants to make a best friend. Sam just wants to get out of the house, and Sue wants to memorize the Bible, and Johnny wants to like be a discipler. So verbalize your expectations as a group, clarify your destination, and that will serve as a bearing to what and why you're meeting. And it will give it will give alignment for the group. So that's the first one. Determine the destination. Just like if you're going on a sailing voyage, pick where you're going, because you're going to go somewhere. You just don't know where you're going and if it's the right place. The second is, what's the captain look like? What's the health of the captain? And that is whether the captain leads with intentionality and vulnerability. And it doesn't matter if you're the small group leader or not. You have extra opportunity to lead as the facilitator of the group. But if you're a group member, you are leading the culture, impacting the culture of the group. So that the captain is the most important. Like we just said, that's 65% of the equation. And the greatest thing you can do is model vulnerability as a practical catalyst and bring intentionality into your group in regards to why you meet. So I'm not going to spend more time on the captain, but that's the biggest part. That's the 65%. go read The Cure. The tagline, "What if God isn't who you think he is and neither are you," by John Lynch, built around Bruce McNichol, to understand the theology and identity piece of A Core of a Leader. The component three is the crew. So you're on a ship, you're going somewhere. What is the group culture going to be? Every family system, North Star Academy, you have an organizational culture. If I came and witnessed your organizational culture, you have a set of spoken and unspoken roles that shape your culture that I would be, if I watched, I would be able to go, "Stephanie, let me tell you about your culture with better insight than you would have, your real culture, not your stated culture." Every family system, every team has a set of spoken and unspoken roles, a set of spoken and unspoken cultures. And so the great groups I saw gave words to that. They said, let's shape the culture we want. Are we going to teach and preach at each other, or are we going to walk alongside each other? And you clarify your culture by clarifying goals and guardrails or group rules. So if you have a goal to be an authentic community that's fully known by each other, then a guardrail or a group rule should be, let's pick just two or three. And one of those would be, we're not going to fix each other in this group. And the great groups I saw set a couple guardrails around a couple values that said, we're going to be this and we're not going to fix each other. We're not going to preach at each other. We're going to ask good questions. We're going to walk alongside each other. And that shapes the culture of the crew on this voyage to get to wherever you want to go in your destination. And a lot of groups don't do that. And that's where it's that, like, oh man, that guy just keeps, you know, tearing the group, taking it that way. If you can verbalize some of those values and some roles, it just makes a big difference. The fourth is the ship. Are you a speedboat, sailboat, cruise ship? Like, what, how do you design your time together to get you where you want to go? How do you design your time for transformation? So groups meet for 60 minutes every other week, let's say. That's a, like, what do you do with that time? How do you, does that help you get towards your destination with effectiveness or not? Do you, like, show up? Like, do you spend 30 minutes talking about, you know, your kids' sports? And then it's like, oh yeah, let's do a study. And then you, like, listen or read a chapter of the Bible or talk about the sermon. And then you go, okay, that was great. We checked the box. We talked about something deep. And then we go home. No, that's not going to lead to growth, because you're not maximizing your relational time at a heart level. You're not, and you're bringing in content, but you're missing out on the richness of the application of that content into your own life. And so there's three parts of a group time: connect, learn, and grow, or connect, learn, and apply. Most groups connect poorly. They just socialize and hang out. A good open-ended question on a heart level, like, what's something you're proud of in the last 60 days? And everybody connect around that is just a more effective way to build that foundation of trust. Then you learn, but a lot of groups learn something and go home, and they stay in their head about what that learning is. Or you apply that learning, and you can segue the group from learning about something into applying that into their lives, which is where growth happens, by, like, a good question, a segue question, like, what, based on what we just talked about or listened to, what faith step is God inviting us to take? That moves it from our head into our application, into my life. What faith step is God inviting me to take? That's a shift into application, which a lot of groups don't do. So design your time with intentionality for the sake of transformation, just like you do at work. And we have all been in meetings where we're like, this is terrible, because there's not an intentionality as to how to steward the time for the outcomes or the goals. And that makes a terrible meeting. And there's best practices out there for that. And a lot of those correlate to small groups. And the last, the fifth component, is you can have the destination, the captain, a healthy captain, the crew, and the ship. And if you need a route, you need to plan ahead to get you to where you want to go. You need to plot out on the map. I recommend groups, planning out on a seasonal basis. So put on your calendar at the beginning of August, hey, let's plan out the fall. What are we going to do? Are we going to do an overnighter? Are we going to do a service project? When are we meeting? And what are we going to study? And so then we're going to take a break. And then January 8th, we're going to plan for January to May. And then in May, we're going to play the summer. What are we going to do? And so you get it on your calendar, you talk priorities, you reset, you circle back around your destination captain, crew, and ship and go, what do we need to change? Or should we stop meeting? Having those periodic route planning sessions makes a massive difference because all of us have been in those groups. Also, that's like you do a study and you show up and you're like, what are we going to do next? That's so unintentional in regards to this thing that is so important in our lives. So a little bit of intentionality of planning a few at a time, what we're going to do is just goes a long way. So those are the five components that I saw amazing leaders do. And we've organized those in a book for small group leaders, The Cure for Groups, because I couldn't find a book to give to my 108. I couldn't find anything to actually help my 800 small group leaders. And so I was griping about it. And then someone was like, you need to write it. And so I did that. And then, and we have a study called Embark, to help a group launch the first 6 weeks of their group around those principles. And Embark is at True Faith Life app, or if you have Right Now Media, it's on Right Now Media for free. And so, that's the study to apply those last five components.
I made lots of notes. Those are really, really good. And of course, in my mind, I'm going through, okay, am I doing that? Am I not doing that? Oh, that's why that happened. Yeah, those are really, really good practical steps. So I know you've got so many resources. You just mentioned a couple. The listeners can go to truefaith.org. Tell us a little bit about the app you have, the resources. I know you've got retreats, just different types of things that people can take advantage of.
Yeah, we want to serve the capital C church to help them with tools to experience deeper relationships with God and others. And so most all of our stuff is free to serve the church. And so we have a podcast, True Faith Podcast. We have books. I'd start with The Cure. What if God isn't who you think is and neither are you? We have small group studies, one-on-one conversational frameworks. And our key game changer is a 9-month group discipleship initiative called the True Faith Journey. And because a lot of us want to pour our cup into others, make disciples, do this, but we don't know how. We go, what do I do and who do I do it with? And so we built a framework to make it easier for you to invest deeply in 3 to 4 couples or 7 to 8 guys or girls over a 9-month period. You meet once a month for 3 hours. And it's a framework that a lot of churches are implementing as a leader development pipeline to increase the quality and the quantity of their small group leaders, or because it guides you to that 65% core of like how we see God and how we see ourselves. That's what I love. I lead a group every year, and it's the funnest ministry I get to do to help make it easier for me to invest more time with fewer people for greater kingdom impact.
Yeah. Well, you definitely want to check out the website. I've told a few people about the website and they were immediately excited and wanted to know more. One of the guys here, our spiritual life director, ordered 2 books right off. He's like, oh, you're making me spend money showing me this stuff. Like, he immediately got in. Several of us want to go to the retreat. And yeah, just to learn more, I listened to one of your podcasts on marriage. It was really good. So there's so many resources on this website, and it's a really dynamic organization with a lot of people involved, from the board, the advisory council, all your staff. It's just incredible. And I hope to remain in contact with you and just learn more and yeah, maybe have you back. But as we wrap up, just thinking about the online digital world that so many people are in, you know, and at COVID, myself and other people were able to launch small groups online because that's the only way you could do it, right? I had 50 women that I met with weekly. Actually had to do that in a few groups on the Book of Revelation and just challenging one another. And so I think more people can do it virtually. And that made me realize, hey, if I'm meeting with a discipleship group, someone's sick, you know, whatever, you can't come, like you can do it virtually. And I've learned that through North Star. Like, we have incredible relationships on screen, and it's like we're, you know, together. But what would you say to our students, our parents, because we try to get them involved in the community, our faculty and staff who are working hard to build relationships with our students, anything that you would share just to bring encouragement of how to press in the digital world?
Yeah, I think take away the excuse that Stephanie just talked about of like, well, it's not as good, so I'm not going to do it. Of like, invest, you can invest deeply with intentionality and consistency online. And so just take that excuse away of like, well, I don't have anybody here and I don't like online as much, so I'm going to continue with this justified rationality of not being in close proximity with others relationally. And there's too much at stake for that. So it works. Of course, the hand on the shoulder is more beautiful and rich. But if there's seasons where that's our outlet, and do it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And actually with North Star, you are not limited, you know, because you're usually limited in a small, if you're trying to have an in-person small group, like how far is somebody going to drive? 30 minutes, 1 hour? At North Star, literally, we have different people in different continents all together in one room. So, I mean, it's just opens the world, literally, here in North Star Academy. So, I love it. And as everybody that listens to this podcast probably know, I really love North Star because it is just an incredible place where we're trying to build community. So, I hope to stay connected with you and your organization and learn how to do it better and learn how to be more real, vulnerable, and all for the glory of the kingdom, right? To draw people in to where Jesus is and just be present with him and one another. So I thank you for joining me today. I thank you for the work you're doing and how you're sharing it with everyone.
Thanks, Stephanie. Appreciate it.
Thank you so much for listening today. If you have any questions for our guest or would like information about North Star, please email us at podcast@nsa.school. We love having guests on our show and getting to hear their stories. If you have anyone in mind that you think would be a great guest to feature, please email us and let us know. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't miss out on upcoming stories.